Just to recap, what happened with the little Rocco Ricciuto a couple of days ago?
Well, we come home from the AFLW Grand Final and I was getting a roast ready for tea and Sarah's old man came running in. Someone's been playing with my phone and they rang the ambulance. There's an ambulance on its way. And as it turned out, Rocco had got on to Mick's phone who'd left outside and accidentally dialed 000 twice.
Right.
And called an ambulance, and the ambulance come to it was coming to our house without anyone even speaking to anyone, and Mick had to cancel it. So, so that's what happened.
All right, and then another story's emerged this morning.
Yeah, that's right. A young 10-year-old lad has gone on to his mum's computer and gone onto eBay, I think, and bought a Coal Sticky. Not just
what's
any.
What's a Coal Sticky?
Oh, it's a little plastic little toy that the
like
kids all love.
Like these miniature things.
Carried on from the minis. Was that right? And anyway, he didn't buy just an ordinary Coal Sticky. He bought a $10,000 Coal Sticky, a little golden banana.
So he spent 10 grand.
$10,000 he spent, but must have been.
Because these are rare. They're collector's items, I think.
Yeah,
aren't they?
That's right. And I think he needed it to finish off his little collection.
To sell the whole set.
Yeah, but anyway, mum didn't really want to spend 10 grand on a golden banana Coal Sticky and is struggling to get his get her 10 grand back.
3 clicks and he had bought it. Congratulations, you've got Billy Banana for $10,000.
Billy Banana.
And then I realised that my son had done that because he's collecting the minis and that's all he has left to go. There's all these security measures in place, but if your child does this, it's sort of like blamed on you. And PayPal said to me, how do we know that it was your son and not you? PayPal talks about buyer protection and I don't feel like I've been protected at all. I emailed the seller twice prior to him posting the item to say, please cancel this. My son made it without my authority. Please confirm. I'm just afraid he's going to take his money and run. And obviously none of these institutions then are going to want to reimburse me my money.
Now, it turns out the little boy's autistic and all he saw was the banana. He wanted it, needed it, and so spent the 10 grand.
Yeah. And 10-year-olds would do it. Don't worry about that.
Yep.
1-3-3-5-3. Ring in and tell us what your kids have done, either online or on the phone or anywhere. Some trouble they've been up to lately. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a buzz.
Oh, what have your kids done? Anything costly behind your back that you didn't realise had happened?
Yeah, either spend 10 grand or ring an ambulance. G'day, Chad from Newton. What's your kids done?
Hey, guys. My boy, he was 4 years old and got onto the PlayStation and ended up buying one of the EA Sports soccer game for $87.
He's 4 years old?
Yeah.
How easy can they do that?
Well, he just kept on clicking on the buttons and got into the PlayStation store and just kept clicking and purchased now and did it.
How did you realize it had happened?
Well, it went through my credit card and I thought, how the hell did that happen?
Good stuff.
So what, do you have your credit card details online for on your PlayStation?
Yeah, for the PlayStation store. And then I realized, like, oh, my God. And then I called them and complained about it. And I said, well, this is what happened. They said, well, we can't give you a refund, but we can give you a credit. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. I've still got about $30 credit left. It's been 2 years.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, 1-3-3-5-3. We're after stories about when your kids have cost you. Did you remember when there was a big fight on Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah,
you know, that massive fight.
Yeah.
And I had all those 20 or 30 people around. We were watching the fight and paid for it. But I had to pause it because I had to cook the barbecue. So we paused it and I had lunch and everything. And then we went inside to watch it. Tom pulled the plug out and we're all sitting there. And so couldn't watch it. And couldn't even replay it, couldn't even rewind it, couldn't do anything.
Or it was gone.
Gone. Gonski. And then we found out that Mayweather had won the fight and they wanted another, you know, whatever it was, $100 or something to watch it again. So
what have your kids done? 1-3-3-5-3.
Let's go to Fulham Gardens. G'day, Chris.
Morning, boys. How are you?
What have your kids done?
Yeah, the lad went out to Grandpa's a couple of years ago and he was on Facebook playing a game and Grandpa thought, you know, I'll let him have one upgrade. So he put his credit card details in and ended up clicking on it for the next couple of hours and spent almost $2,000 on it.
Oh, no. Grandpa's probably never been on Facebook and will never go there again.
Good work.
The next day he's going to put his bets on and realised he didn't have any money in his account.
Oh, Grandpa wouldn't have been happy about that.
No.
Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Sylvia.
Hi, how you going, boys?
Good, thanks, Sylvia.
I had my in-laws come to my house almost in tears, wanting to know what's going on. And I'm like, what on earth are you doing here? And they said that they had a phone call from my daughter, who would have been about 3 and a half at the time. And she just rang them up and said, Nonna, help. And she hung up. The second time she rang, it was like, Nonna, I really need help. Help, Nonna. And she hung up. And, of course, they got in the car and sped to our house. And I'm like, you know, what are you doing here? And they said, you know, Jordan's rung and she's rung twice. What's going on? Are you help? What's going on? And I'm like, nothing. And Jordan goes up to them and, Nonna, Mummy wants me to have a sleep and I don't want to.
Oh, no. So Nonna means grandma in Italian.
Grandma in Italian.
So, all right, thanks, Sylvia. Good stuff. Let's go to Exeter. G'day, Kathy.
Morning, Ruin Dit.
Hello, Kathy. What happened?
Okay, our daughter was 5 at the time and she was watching TV and an ad came up for World Vision. So she thought she'd get on the phone and dial the number, spoke to somebody and she said, yes, I'd like to sponsor a child. And so, yes, we sponsored a child for 13 years.
So, and you didn't realise?
Well, no, we did realise, but by the time we had the first couple of payments come out, I said... Oh, what's this for? She said, oh, no, that's our other child that we've got in the family, and that's the right thing to do, Mum.
Right.
And I thought, how can I dispute that? Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. 13 years later, we were still...
Fantastic.
Oh, that is a good story. Well done, Kathy. You're doing a good job.
104.7 Triple M.
Science!
Grab the lab coats and whip out the Bunsen burners.
For science!
It's time to talk science
with Dr. Carl.
Now, he was up bright and early this morning, rewriting his 44th book, Vital Science. He gets up and at him. Let's get him on. Dr. Carl, good morning.
Good morning. I haven't got a name for 45 yet, but still working on it, man.
Are you writing your 44th or 45th?
Finished 44, Vital Science. I'm writing 45.
You're on your 45th. Okay, good. Right.
See if you can work Ruined It's into the title, you know, because we're a couple of scientists, something.
Ruined It.
Just get Dr. Roo and Dr. Ditz. Get Dr. Roo and Dr. Ditz somewhere in the book, at least.
You deserve to be.
There's a challenge for you. Now,
and
you know, in recent times we've asked you medical questions, but the other day, Dr. Carl, Roo and I were sitting in the studio, and I don't know, I think it was an ad break or something. We were watching the TV, and an ad for vacuum cleaners came on. So today I've got a scientific question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about a vacuum. Now, before I lose
Dyson,
anyone out there,
or was it
we were watching Dyson vacuums. Right. Yes. Not that it matters. It could
Very
be any
busy.
Brand. Now, Alice has asked me to explain vacuum for those that, you know, there might be people out there, Dr. Carl, but a vacuum basically is nothingness, isn't it? Like, we often joke about, some people could say, my head is a vacuum. Like, in between my ears, there's nothing. So that would be a vacuum.
It depends on whether you're an engineer or a physicist.
Right.
If you're an engineer, a vacuum is anything less than standard air pressure. Mm. So the machine that you call a vacuum cleaner that you push around the house, that'll drop the air pressure down by about 20%. But for a physicist, a vacuum is nothing which doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It does not exist. So they sort of get down from, you know, trillions and trillions and trillions of atoms per square centimeter. And if you get into the space between the stars, you might have like 100 or something, you know, atoms per square centimeter. But really, you can't have a pure vacuum. Suppose you get a box, a metal box, and nothing can get into it, no radiation, and you remove every single atom or molecule of oxygen, hydrogen, carbon dioxide, ozone, argon, everything. Is that box empty? No, it is still full of a bubbling sea of particles and antiparticles that wink into existence and then wink out again, leaving behind what's called zero-point energy. So you're saying, hang on, how can you get something from nothing? And in quantum mechanics, you can. And it's kind of like the teenage kids borrowing the parents' car from the garage on a Saturday night. If it happened in a short enough period of time so the parents didn't notice, it never happened. And so you can have something, you can have nothing, turning into something and going back to nothing again, and providing it happens in a short enough period of time, it's allowed.
Right. Now, having listened to that explanation, let's
Alice
say that
is
a vacuum,
extremely confused at
let's
the moment.
Say that a vacuum is just nothing. Like, it could be a big square room with no air in it or whatever. I could look at that and go, well, that's a vacuous room. There's nothing in there. That's a vacuum. Why do we call a suction machine, which I think is what a vacuum cleaner should be called, it should be called a suction machine. Why is it called a vacuum cleaner?
Because they made a mistake. It originally came as a carpet sweeper, and then they, in way, way, way back in the early days, they had mechanical suction things. It was a guy called Herbert Cecil Booth, who back in 1901 came up with the name vacuum cleaner, although it's not as though you get a vacuum and then you clean it. So back in the early days, in 1860, you had a carpet sweeper that had a bellows, a mechanical bellows. So you've seen the tradies going around with their vacuum cleaners carried on their back. Well, back then, they had to actually work with their hands a bellows to suck the air up while having it down on the ground. Yeah, that was back in 1860.
And very environmentally friendly?
Well, apart from the fact that they'd have to work really hard to sweat a lot. And by the time you get to around, 1900, they're getting into electrical machines, and somebody came up with a really good design that they couldn't actually get the funding for, so they sold it to Hoover, and he was the guy who then came out with the name, in America, in England, they call a vacuum cleaner a Hoover. So you're not cleaning the vacuum.
Hoover.
It really is sort of like a reduced air pressure suction device.
Mm. You're right, dude. It should be a suction device.
Suction,
it should
go,
be a suction
or
device,
a Hoover.
Man. Or a Hoover, as they call it in England. But a vacuum cleaner, mate, you don't start off with a dirty vacuum and you end up with it being cleaned. Mm. But around 1905, they had that, an improved vacuum apparatus using the engineering definition of any air pressure less than the air pressure around you. An engineer will call that a vacuum, but a physicist, of course, being a morally more pure person, would not.
All right. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that, all right?
You
so
are
everyone
right,
out there,
yes.
You're using a suction cleaner.
A Hoover.
Dr. Carl, thank you for verifying that. Great stuff. And good luck with writing that book number 45, Ruined Dits in the World of Science, or whatever you're going to call it.
Ruined Dits in the World of Science. Bye.
Thank you.
See you, Dr. Carl.
Dr. Carl. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Ruined Dits for Breakfast. David Koshrew is now an author. Not only has he done everything else that we know of, he's an author as well.
Well, I love the sound of this. 11-step money plan for a better life, and he joins us now. Good morning, Koshy.
Good morning, guys. I'm actually going back to my first true love, and that's being a finance nerd and a geek, which is where it all started.
Righto.
Well, I like what I'm reading so far. I'm going to definitely have a crack at this book. It talks about things that we need to know in our worlds, and one of them here is getting overwhelmed by the cost of raising a family. I'm getting that at the moment, Koshy. How do I deal with that?
Is basically having a plan and going through, and that's what the book does, step by step, very simple steps, it's very common sense, of going through every part of your financial life and making sure you're getting the best deal. Now, what a lot of people do is disconnect from their money and go, oh, it's too hard, it's not going to be worth it, whatever, automatically renew insurance, automatically renew this, that, not quite sure where all the financial leaks are coming out of their monthly pay packet going, oh, gee, I thought I'd end up with more at the end of the month than I did. Well, this is a way of tracking those finances as a couple and as a family, because you're going through this high-cost era, and what I'm trying to do in this book is to say, we're going to make sure there's extra money at the end where you can enjoy your life too. But it's enjoy a date night or a good holiday with the kids or whatever.
Koshy, one thing that we talk about a lot, families talk about and couples, is I want to pay off the mortgage as quickly as I can. One of your bullet points here says pay less on the mortgage. Can you explain that, please?
Yep. Okay. Everyone listening today, I want you, if you haven't done it already, to pick up the phone and if you've got a mortgage, ring your bank today and say, can I get a discount on the interest rate? Now, if you also have, say, some insurances with them or credit cards with them or whatever, you're a valuable customer. They want to keep you in this very competitive world. Now, if you're paying the advertised interest rate that you read in the paper on your home loan, you're a mug. I guarantee that if you ring your bank, they'll give you at least a 0.25% discount on your home loan rate.
Really?
And it will be worth thousands to you just by picking up the phone and saying, hey, am I getting the best rate? You know, I'm a really loyal customer. And, you know, I have people who have called me back and said, I got a 0.7% discount on my interest rate, which is just money in the bank. Why let them keep it? Mm. You should keep it too. So it's little things like that that we go through in the book that can make a massive difference to your life.
Koshy, what about this one? I've read another bullet point you've got here in your release. Develop a side hustle or get a salary increase. Well, I understand salary increase. What's a side hustle?
Okay. Earning a second income, another income on the side. Like, it's really boring. Like, when you do a budget, everyone just looks at the cost sides. What do I cut back? What do I cut back here? Well, you don't want to live your life like a monk. You know, you want to have fun as well. And there's only so far you can cut costs. So there are so many ways to earn extra income, particularly in this new gig or digital economy, sort of driving Ubers, which I have lots of mates doing that. Doing stuff on Airtasker, where if you're a handyman or a good gardener, you get paid by somebody else to do what, and you can decide how much you want to do and how much you don't. You can rent out a room on Airbnb. You can actually rent out your car when it's not used to groups like Drive My Car. So it's looking at the income side as well as just cutting costs, turning a passion or a hobby into a moneymaker. And there are so many platforms that you can advertise yourself on at the moment that people, you know, if you love playing guitar, become a guitar tutor, you know, that sort of thing. So it's all about how to have a surplus at the end of the month. And yes, you've got to be careful of costs, but also maximise your income.
Well, there's plenty of people with less money at the end of the week now than there's ever been. So, Koshy, this looks like a must-read, an 11-step money plan for a better life. Thanks for joining us, Koshy.
Good on you, guys. Thank you for that.
There he is, David Kosh. Now, Roo, driving around yesterday around drive time, and I'd just been to NextGen and had a little late afternoon workout.
Good boy.
So, and listening to Kennedy Malloy as I drive home, and I love Kennedy Malloy. I'm a massive fan. Funny show. And yesterday, Jane Kennedy told a story that I thought we can all relate to this. Have a listen.
I went to the toilet on Friday half naked because I was going to change. So I was in my bra. My pants were down around my ankles.
Yeah.
And the door burst open and...
It's like the start of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah,
a
very striking South Sudanese security guard, Faris, walked in on me. And shut the door, dude.
Nothing he saw in his homeland was as terrifying.
Anyway, she went on to elaborate. So what happened was, this is at Triple M in Melbourne, it was the disabled toilet, which, as you know, is normally a large room.
Yep.
So she couldn't reach the door, and she's finally trying to... So she snookered, and of course he just stood there staring at her. She's going, well, what are you doing? So anyway, she wanted to say she didn't know whether he was more horrified or she was more horrified. They're not too sure.
She looked a bit tangled by the sound
of it. And anyway, they then took some great calls about, you know, where have you been caught out embarrassingly and what's happened to you and... all those sorts of things. So people started ringing in and there were some great calls.
Been with my partner 29 years now, but back when we were like 17, he had a flat with his mother and I stayed there the night when she wasn't there. He went off to work. I got up, knock on the door, someone delivered a porno.
Oh.
Little did I know, but anyway, I didn't really see them back then. So I thought, I'll go and have a shower and move on with my day. Got out the shower, just undies on, thought, I'm going to clean this house. I got the vacuum out, just with a pair of undies on because it's a hot flat.
I understand.
Summer.
Yes.
So who needs a porno?
I'm going to put the porno on because I've never seen one. So I put the porno on. I'm on my hands and knees with the nozzle pencil in my hand doing the skirting boards, and I look up and there was my mother-in-law. And her first words were, "And who are you?" "I'm in your new daughter-in-law."
Wow. How good's that? And they've been together for 29 years. Perfect.
Now, Mel the button pusher, this morning we were sharing these anecdotes. What happened to you, Mel?
So the big park that's got, you know, excellent playground behind the OG Road pub there.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a new fandangled toilet. So it's about the size of your typical disabled toilet. You know, big room, same as Jane Kennedy was talking about.
Right.
And everything is button operated. So you've got to push a button to dispense the toilet paper, a button to open and close the door.
Mm-hmm. Bit of music when you close the door.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of a ding, 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 ding.
Help you go, yeah.
That's right. So Sinead, my little four-year-old, needed to go to the toilet. I've taken her in. She's done her business. I thought, well, while we're here, I'll go too, you know. I'm on the toilet, middle of the business, and she has pushed the door open button. I can't reach it. It's at least 2 metres away. I am in the middle of going, and there is a lovely family having a picnic on the grass directly outside the toilet. And I actually, in the middle of screaming, "Shut the door, push it again, push it again." I'm like, "Hello, hello."
Not much you can do there, Mel.
No. You just throw your hands up.
And I'll bet you, Sinead thought, "This is funny.
She
I'm going to do this again."
It was hilarious.
The old smart toilet. Too smart for your own good.
Righto, embarrassing moments like that. Where have you been caught on the dunny or something's happened to you? Someone's walked in on you. Please give us a call. I love these stories. 1-3-3-5-3. This is on the back of Jane Kennedy on Kennedy Malloy last night. Last week, Roo, Friday, she was in the Triple M toilets in Melbourne. Disabled toilet, and the security guard walked in on her. She was sitting there half naked.
Bra,
she was getting changed as well. Yeah,
bra off, knickers around her ankles, and so, the door
quite
wide
embarrassing.
Open.
And the security guard hasn't recovered yet, apparently.
Yeah, and he come from where?
Sudan.
And he's seen a bit. Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Jacinta.
Hello, how are you?
What's happened to you, Jacinta?
Oh, so I was on a first date with a guy.
Yeah.
Out for dinner, had a few drinks.
Yep.
Went back to his place. You know, doing some adult things. Going to the toilet, I just picked up the first pair of underwear I saw on the ground, which was a pair of his underwear. Had a hole in the butt and everything. And after going to the toilet, opening up the door, going to wash my hands, and his dad walks past, gives me a smile and says, "Oh, hello," and continued on his way. And I just bolted.
Oh, no. That would have been a bit of a scary experience for
you. Gave his jocks back.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Finland. G'day, Phil.
Yeah, g'day, mate. So anyway, I was about 15 or 16 at the time.
Yep.
Thinking I was home alone and saw the perfect opportunity to reach out in my top drawer, see the old Playboy magazine.
Oh, okay.
And,
hang on, where's this going?
And anyway, like I said, I thought I was home alone and, you know, proceeded to, you know.
Have a bit of a gander.
And anyway, the door opens, turn around, the old man's looking at me. Had nowhere to turn. And he goes, "All right, mate, get the job done and get out of there."
Get the job done.
That just means read the book, doesn't it?
Read
the book.
Read the articles.
Wow. Oh, God. I could not imagine that happening with
wasn't
my
expecting helmet. That phone call. No.
Let's go to Aldanga Beach. G'day, Sam.
Yeah, how are you going, lad?
Yeah, good, Sam.
Yeah, good. I was on the way back from an Easter camping trip on the Yorks.
Yeah.
Coming back into Port Wakefield, you know, every man and his dogs out there.
Yep.
Couldn't hold on for a Wakefield anymore, to pull the car over the side of the road, start to go behind the car, blocking me from all traffic.
Yeah.
And forgot to put the handbrake on the car.
Oh, no.
Which slowly starts rolling away. The best I could do is shuffle after it to where I landed.
Oh, no. Where did it end up?
Oh, it was only about 5 metres down, but that was enough for a few families and everyone else.
Oh, bad luck, Sam. That would have been embarrassing. You didn't need that after being held up for a couple hours in that lineup. Now, we got tickets to give away to the Crows Gold Coast. Dits. Yeah. Do we reward Phil for being filthy? No.
Filthy Phil. Gee.
What about Jacinta having
to
see?
I think Jacinta. I felt sorry for Jacinta.
Jacinta.
Having to face the old man.
Yeah, you don't need to do that on your first date.
No.
And you've got a double to go and see Crows and Gold Coast Suns at Adelaide Ovals Easter Sunday.
After that.
Well, we probably could find out. Is Jacinta still there? Are you there, Jacinta?
Yep.
Was it your only date with this bloke, or did you go back?
Well, we now live together and
What's that? All right, you can take his dad to the footy if you want, or you can take him.
I can take his dad.
All right, good on you. Reminisce about old times. All right, you got a double to go to Adelaide Oval on Easter Sunday to see the Crows and Gold Coast.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Oh, the boys are in. Flack, Nails, Toddy, how are you, men?
Morning. Good, boys.
Righto, Nails, first up, share update. What have you bought or sold this week?
I haven't bought or sold anything this week, but...
Pity you didn't buy Crown yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think they'll go straight back down the other way, though, today.
Really?
From the overnight reports.
Yeah, I got one on the watch list. It's called AJX. I think it's Elixium is the name. But they manufacture...
You think?
They manufacture uniforms, and I think they've just signed a contract.
Like, manufacture uniforms? Oh, that doesn't mean that.
Uniform.
Oh, well.
No, like fireproof uniforms or something like that. Anyway.
Your detail is mind-blowing.
Roo, that's never been done before, has it? Fireproof uniform. Yeah, we'll jump on that one.
Maybe Fire Brigade might even be keen to that. Hey, this is sort of Flax one here, this one about dating no-nos. What is a no-go for you when you're searching around looking for Mrs. Flack?
Well, surely, one day I'll find Mrs. Flack. Surely you would have had rules when you were dating. There's certain people you won't go for.
Oh, ones that you fancied more than others.
Yeah, for me.
I narrowed it down to just female. That was.
I was there, so I totally understand where you're coming from. But I've had to put in, I can't date a smoker.
No.
I was a smoker, and I will easily go back down that
path.
I'm
with you there,
I was a smoker for years.
So now you won't go back?
If I was to date a smoker, I reckon within a couple of months
you'd be on the darts.
Yeah, and I don't want
to
do that.
You wouldn't be able to help yourself,
And the other one is I won't date a redhead.
You're
a redhead.
I know, but this is the thing.
Opposites attract.
This is why redheads don't date redheads. On Sunday night, I went to Aladdin, and Alice came up and goes, "Oh, are you on a date?" "No, that's my sister." So that is why redheads never date redheads, because people think they're siblings.
We did a phoner before when you put your foot in it. Alice didn't tell us that one. So redheads, Dits, have you ever been out with a redhead or kissed a redhead?
I don't think so.
See?
Maybe. I don't know.
Not sure?
Can't remember. Not that I think I have, no.
Okay.
But no special reason, just hasn't happened.
You're a strawberry blonde anyway, aren't you, Dits?
I was a bit more real. Grey now. I've worked with Roo for 8 years, I've gone grey.
That'll do it.
What are your no-nos, Nails?
Probably smoking for me. I mean, I've never been a smoker, and folks smoked growing up. So
they did?
Yeah, they did. So I've always been against that. So
Were you in the car with Dad?
He actually still has a chuff at home in the
house.
Well.
That is old school.
I don't obviously live with him now, but when you go around there, it's
in the lounge room, got the ashtray.
Yeah, got the ashtray. So
it feels like another era, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah,
And it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But it happened in our lifetimes. When you think about it, pubs, restaurants.
Everything's smoke-free, isn't it?
Cars,
planes.
Well, I never had planes, but they're still on signal.
Planes used to be funny. You'd say, "I want a non-smoking seat, please." And you could be sitting one row away from the smoking section. You could. I asked for non-smoking, and one bloke a metre from me is puffing away. It was hilarious.
On the plane.
Yeah.
But the end of the flight, it must have been...
Oh, you reeked of it. You did, yeah.
Mm.
You can't exactly open the window, Roo, can you? Right,
Todd.
She doesn't anymore. She stopped once she had.
She doesn't make
it. Now she just passive smokes.
Yeah. No, they're not together anymore.
Sorry, Nails.
No.
I didn't mean to go
was
there.
It out,
sorry.
Was it out 15 years ago? Don't worry, I'm over it.
Sorry. Todd, she couldn't stand the smoke.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Over smoking.
Todd.
Yeah, a big... big no-no for me is just unnecessary tattoos. Like, especially if they're like on their face, neck, or something like this. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of women can pull off the tattoos, but
little one.
Well, what's an unnecessary?
What's
unnecessary? Define that.
Just
too many.
Just out there, like.
A sleeve on a female or something.
No, it's all acceptable. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, hang on. So a sleeve's acceptable. What's not acceptable?
It depends how hot she is, I guess.
Oh, no.
Good on you. Thanks, boys.
See you, boys.